No one knows the orange and black quite like Bags. It's time for the author, journalist, and Twitter sensation, Andrew at Extra Bags Baggerly with Murph and Mac.
Sponsored by Marin Health, your gateway to better health in the North Bay.
On your home of San Francisco Giants baseball, KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Do you get this, Pauly? I know, but do you know this tune? Another one of these sinister ones.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's Andy Baggerly's new entrance music.
Oh, no.
You guys are killing me.
Doing?
Bags alert.
Hit it again, bags alert. Because it's killing Andy. Bag alert, major bag alert. There it is, Andrew.
I got to do throw the S on. Bags alert.
Andy, what do you think about your new theme song, buddy?
Yep.
Sorry. What are you starting? Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Well, we want to let people know that you're coming on to talk Giants baseball. It's a bag alert.
Bags alert.
I mean, you know, you got your, like, what do they call them, Woj bombs?
Yeah.
Jeff Passan breaks a story for ESPN. They call it Passan Gas or whatever. I don't know. So, yeah, I guess I'll take major bag alert next time I break a Giants story. Sure, why not?
Very good. Very good, man. Well, I'll tell you what. You got a ball club on your hands, man. Every week we talk to you, it seems like we're sort of like, hey, this thing's working. Hey, this thing's working. And here we are, Andy, another week in the books. This thing's working. They take 2 out of 3 from the Padres, 2 straight from Texas. I mean, I don't know what to say anymore other than, like, it's, I mean, when is the official the Giants are seriously contending story? Is it the 4th of July? Is it after the trade deadline?
Flag Day?
Is it Flag Day? When is it, Andy?
Flag Day. Yes. Yeah, you know what? It's funny. One of the most misused phrases in sports is the quarter pole. And a lot of times you hear people say, well, you know, the season is 25% of the way done. So here at the quarter pole, the Giants are in first place. Whereas then someone will have to clear their throat and say, well, actually, no, the quarter pole in horse racing is not when the race is 25% over. But, you know, just put a pole there anyway. 25% of the way, just put a pole there, call it the new quarter pole. Mm-hmm. And we're almost at that quarter pole, and the Giants are playing good. You know, they're beating teams that are not as good as them. You know, the Texas Rangers are not a great baseball team, and the Giants did what they should have done and take 2 games from them at home. If you're a good team, that's what you do. And, you know, that part is really kind of reassuring, is just how they've reestablished a home field advantage. Because we remember in 2019, they had the worst home record in San Francisco Giants history. And we forget about that because they played pretty well on the road, and they didn't have a 100-loss season or anything. But they were terrible at home. And then, you know, they made the ballpark tweaks, and that probably helped a little bit. They changed the personnel around. And now they're, what, 14-4 at home? And they actually have fans who can applaud them and watch them now. So, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest positive so far this season. This is a team that plays really well at home, and that's kind of convenient when half your games are there.
All right, cynical time. Schedule. I know Grant Brisby touched on this in The Athletic today. He's defending the schedule, but okay, here's the cynic. Soft schedule. They haven't played the Dodgers or the Braves or...
They played the Padres.
They haven't played the Cardinals.
Fair amount.
So I don't know. I'm just throwing that one at you, Andy.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely a factor for sure. I mean, this was a softer part of their schedule, and the schedule is, a little different than it has been in past years. I can't remember a time when, you know, you don't see the Dodgers until basically the end of May, and then you play them a bunch of times over a chunk in the middle of the season. You know, we're not going to see the Padres again until September, they've got half their games still left to play against the Padres. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a different schedule where things are coming in kind of big chunks. And right now they've beaten the teams that they should beat. I totally agree that there's going to be tougher times ahead. There's going to be tougher opponents ahead. But, you know, you look at the National League standings and no one else has really gotten separation. Cardinals are playing well. But, you know, the whole NL East, and there are some good teams in the NL East, but they're all right around 500 right now. So, it's not like there's any other teams that you watch them play and you're like, oh, boy, good thing the Giants aren't running up against them right now.
Yeah, and also doing this, Andy, with the injuries. And we're talking to Andy Baggerly of The Athletic here. He covers the Giants, of course, and visits us on Wednesdays. I mean, it's supposed to be like, hey, you're missing Donnie Barrels, one of the best hitters in the National League, and Tommy La Stella, your prize free agent acquisition. It doesn't seem to matter, and I guess this is where you credit Farhan and Scott Harris for this depth acquisition.
And Mike Yastrzemski. I mean, think about how he was to the offense last year, and you know, guy who was top 10 in the NL and MVP voting. Yep. And you know, highest finish by a Giant since Buster in 2016 or something. So you took him out of the equation for close to 2 weeks, and just when he was starting to get hot, and now you've got him back. But they had to weather that storm too. So great point, and I think that it does show that they have given themselves depth options. They're not always going to get every matchup when they have people down. You've got Wilmer Flores playing against right-handed pitching right now, which wouldn't be the case if Tommy La Stella was healthy. But they still have enough depth to have an Austin Slater who's heating up at the plate and hits a couple homers over the weekend. But they sit him against a right-handed starter because they know the Rangers have six lefties in their bullpen. And then boom, you got Slater, Ruff, and Dubon coming off the bench, pinch hit. And that's how you start and cash in the winning rally. And that does show you that even with a few guys down, there's still enough depth to have a bench that can come up and win you a ballgame. And I think that's a pretty good sign.
And this is going to continue to be a theme we talk to you all summer long, and that is Gabe Kapler. And we sort of talked about it with Kruko and Kipe and Sean Estes and everybody we have on. And they finished last year 21-15. This year they're 22-14. I mean, I know it's kind of weird to string together two different seasons, but 43-29, I think, in the top of my head, in his last 72 games, there's getting to be ample evidence that the lineups he's writing and the moves he's making are winning games. This was supposed to be a bad hire. We all were, he got ran out of Philly. They didn't like him there. He didn't have the experience of a Joe Girardi or a Joe Maddon. And I know he hasn't done anything yet. They could finish third for all I know. But what are you seeing here with this Kapler fingerprint as we move on?
Well, first thing is, I think if you're talking to an Angel fan right now, they'd probably trade you Joe Maddon for Gabe Kapler. I mean, it has not gone very well for Joe in a lot of different ways in Anaheim. But, I think that you're as good as the people you surround yourself with. And there's two things that Gabe Kapler has going for him, I think, in San Francisco that he didn't in Philadelphia. One is, he's got buy-in all the way up the ladder to ownership, and he's got someone who hired him who really has carte blanche and isn't being directed or isn't being meddled with by the people above him. And so you really have the freedom to go out and do your job and implement your philosophies and not be looking over your shoulder. And that's a huge – got to be a huge boost to someone to be able to operate without that distraction. And then the other thing is, you've got a coaching staff that's just got a ton of bandwidth. I mean, we all sort of kind of chortled at the fact that you hired like 16 coaches for a whole bunch of roles that you don't normally hear on big league staffs. But, I mean, there is so much preparation and work that this coaching staff puts in terms of scouting opponents, in terms of, not only gathering tons of information, but then streamlining it and getting it to players in a way that really is kind of consumable. And it's making a difference. I mean, you look at how many games they win off the bench and how prepared they have these players. You look at the plans that a Belt, a Crawford, a Longoria, a Posey has implemented to goose more production out of a career that probably should be in decline given their ages. I mean, it's really impressive what this coaching staff has been able to do, how many advantages, not just at the margins, but really at the core, that they've been able to kind of exploit. And I think that Gabe Kapler's the guy who put all that research into putting this coaching staff together, and that probably stands as his best accomplishment right now.
And let's be honest, I mean, Jeff Samardzija had that great line. I thought it was funny when he said, as soon as we can tell the minor league free agents from the coaching, we'll be fine. And it's a little bit of a needle. It's a little bit of fun. And there was a ton of skepticism about that coaching staff. And I don't know. Are we all stupid for thinking that or just, I mean, it's like he did it in a very unorthodox way, assembling this coaching staff. And I don't know if there's another model like it in baseball that as inexperienced as a staff.
I mean, yeah, it's easy in baseball when someone does something that's out of the box to kind of, poke fun at it, just because this has always been a game of orthodoxy. It's always been a game where you do things a certain way, and you have a clear expectation for, you know, the quote unquote right way to do things. But I mean, I think that's kind of out on its ear right now. It's if you can find a way to increase your percentages and give you a chance to win a game or score an extra run, you do it, and you don't really spend time thinking about how it's going to be. How it's going to be received, other than by the people in your clubhouse you need buy-in from. So, yeah, I think that sort of open-mindedness of, hey, you know, when you're open-minded, sometimes you're going to embrace some goofy ideas that don't work out. I mean, that's part of it. That's experimentation. And maybe if you do that too much, you get a reputation for being kind of a goofball. But I think that open-mindedness has led to a lot of really good ideas and led to, you know, a team, you know, that's really, I don't know if you want to say overachieving, but achieving beyond what a lot of the projection systems thought that they could do.
Man, oh man, Andy Baggerly, The Athletic, joining us. And then, setting aside what's going on in the big club, we did want to shine a little light on the story down at AAA where Drew Robinson, this story that Jeff Passan of ESPN broke about Drew Robinson trying to take his own life and somehow surviving it and then losing his eye in the process and then wanting to live again and then getting back into baseball and then hitting a home run last night. I mean, this is cinematic, Andy. I didn't know if you had any insight into the story or thoughts.
I mean, it's really just unbelievable. It's and not just, you know, the fact that he survived kind of providentially almost, but the fact that he went from, you know, making the decision to taking his life to, you know, basically being in a daze for like 20 hours before he even called 911. And in that time deciding, you know what, I want to live and really embracing that and saying, I'm here for a reason. And the Giants have had him speak to their employees. He's come in for their mental health day last year. And the Giants have said, you know, this is something we want to be part of. We want to support Drew Robinson, and we want to support what he is really focused on doing with the rest of his life, which is, you know, bringing awareness to the people who are suffering silently and people who don't feel like they can speak up because they either feel shame or they feel like there's no one who's going to listen to them. And I think that's super important because we've all had to spend so much time kind of silently on our own, you know, over the last year. And if you're dealing with, you know, mental health issues on top of that, then, you know, it's been a really difficult time. And so, yeah, to be, I don't know if you want to say inspired, it doesn't seem like a strong enough word, but what he's been able to do through baseball, I don't think he's looking at his success as a baseball player as getting a call up and having a long pro career and getting to arbitration and making a big, you know, getting a big contract. I don't think that's what he views as success right now. I think he views whatever he can use baseball to do to inspire other people. That's his success. And you know what? Maybe taking that pressure off and redirecting it is something that will help him be a better baseball player. But you know, whatever he's able to accomplish, it's already sort of fulfilling that goal of inspiring other people.
Or imagine a situation in September or something where he gets a call up to the bigs. I mean, that's,
I mean, yeah, it would be something else for sure.
It's on the table for sure. Wow. And I saw Alex Wood wearing an End the Stigma mental health awareness t-shirt during his Zoom the other day. So
yeah, he's been wearing it pretty much every time after every post game. So clearly something that I probably is intentional on his part.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Andy, you're going to miss, leave it at this. You're not going to be in Pittsburgh, but would you have gone to Permane Brothers or did just 20 years on the baseball beat, is it just too cliche and done? Or would you have gone for the French fry in the French roll sandwich at 2 in the morning?
Let's just say this. I've had one. I've had one with an Iron City beer. I think I'd rather have the sandwich than the Iron City beer again.
Okay.
And I would be much more likely to get the Permane Brothers sandwich than I would be to get a bowl of Skyline chili. Let's just put it that way.
On these. Okay, well, good. There's the trips you'll miss, and hopefully you'll do again one day. So thanks, Andy, for the chat. We'll keep reading you at The Athletic.
Thanks, Bags.
Okay, thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
There he is, Andrew Baggerly, these Giants.
I'm like the five-year-old kid in the back of the car now because I can't get Bags alert. Bags alert.
He caught him off guard. He was
caught
rattled.
Him, caught me totally off guard, but it was a great. Who came
it was
up with
Waterboy.
That? Great idea, Waterboy. I mean, Murph started out the show by saying, you know what, I hate that song. I'm sick of it.
Well, it came from my feud with preschool dad Peter about Madison Bumgarner.
I know. That's a whole other topic. And next thing you know, it's become part of the show.
Yeah,
now it's ingrained in the show.
On KMBR 104.5 at 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.